Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to the Give Me Understanding podcast. I'm Aaron Dodson, the host, and Psalm 119, verse 34 best describes this podcast. The psalmist wrote in the long ago, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." This is the podcast where I discuss the sacred text, and I do my best to help myself and others understand it so that we might keep it with all of our hearts. I want to pick up on the striking contrast theme that I've been doing from time to time and discuss today the name Christian. The pages of the New Testament promote and teach that the name of God's servants today is Christian. It's not Church of Christ. It's not anything else. Church of Christ is a biblical description, and it's very good. Today's podcast is not about that. The name of Christians reflects, or the name Christian reflects the one who gave it, Christ, God in Christ. You're probably aware, and if you're not, this will be helpful to you, of the fact that the word Christian is used twice in the New Testament, and the word Christians is used once. But before I get to those actual verses and discuss the contrast between New Testament Christianity and denominationalism, I want to read a passage from Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter preached about Jesus being the stone that was rejected by the builders, which had become the chief cornerstone. Now, in that context, Peter is speaking of the religious leaders who were involved in having Jesus crucified. And he said, "Jesus is the stone, and he was rejected by you builders, but he's actually the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. He is the main block that holds it all together." And he says this too. Listen to these emphatic and specific words. "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Salvation is only in the name of Jesus. It is only by his person, his preaching, his doctrine, his sacrifice. Salvation is in him and in his name alone. And that's not an oral formula like, you know, "I say you're saved by the name of Jesus." That's by his person, by his sacrifice on the cross, by his teaching, by his instruction, his authority. That's what it means. There is not salvation in anyone besides Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so, those who give their lives to Jesus by obeying the gospel, that is, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, they repent of their sins, they confess their faith in Jesus as Lord, and they are baptized into Christ, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, and other passages. These are individuals who are now Christians. They wear the name of Christ. New Testament Christianity teaches that God's servants today wear the name Christian. Well, let's look at those passages that I mentioned a moment ago. There are three of them. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It was in the context or in the setting of a congregation that was made up of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. And Barnabas, a godly man in the early church, he departed and sought or looked for Saul of Tarsus. He went to Tarsus. I'll get it here in a minute. Tarsus, to seek for Saul. Saul, who became Paul. And when Barnabas found Saul, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church, and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. No doubt this was the God-given name, because Christ is the one who died for our sins. He's the one that was buried and resurrected. He is the one into whom we are baptized, Galatians 3, 26 and 27. This was not a name given in derision, as people have claimed in times past. No, this is the name that God, through Paul and others, would bear before Gentiles and before others, the name that God gave, the name the mouth of the Lord would name, Christians. So the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11, 26. And then the next passage is Acts 26, 28. Acts 26, 28. And I have my physical Bible open here, as I usually do as I'm doing these. I could look at these digitally and keep the turning of the pages down, but the turning of the pages is good. So Acts 26, 28. In the context of Paul speaking to King Agrippa, telling him about the vision that he had received when he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul said to King Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision," Acts 26, 19. And he goes on to speak about how he declared to those in Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. And he says, that's the reason why I was seized. I was arrested in the temple, and they tried to kill me. Now, verse 24, as he's preaching, as he had made this defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad." Paul said, "I'm not mad, most noble Festus, I'm not out of my mind. I speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I speak freely, King Agrippa, he knows these things, and I'm convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." You remember Paul's response. He said, "I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains." He says, "Look, don't you believe the prophets? I know that you do." And Agrippa said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." So Agrippa knew the name by which God's servants were called. He knew this group of people, whether or not he considered it a sect or divine of God or not. He knew the name that they were called, and it was Christian. Now, consider next one more passage. 1 Peter, toward the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, written by an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Peter. He says in 1 Peter 4:12, "Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you." He says, "But look, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed," verse 14. "And let none of you suffer as an evildoer, a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name," or in this matter. Now that I've laid out, let's see, 4 fundamental passages, and we could consider others. The name that's used at least 4 times is Christian. Yeah, you'll also find disciple. I'm not discussing that today. Follower of Christ. But a follower of Christ is one who becomes a Christian. There are people who will follow Christ, but they will not follow him all the way through his teaching to get into the teacher, get into Christ, to be baptized into Christ. And according to 1 Corinthians 1, when you are baptized into someone or by someone's name, you wear that person's name. And so when we're baptized into Christ, we wear his name, Christian. Now here's the striking contrast. From the pages of New Testament Christianity, We learned that the disciples were called Christians. Question, why weren't they called, Paulites or Johnites or Jamesians? You know, kind of like Lutherans. Kind of like other names that point back to an uninspired man, someone beside Jesus. Now, among denominationalism today, they wear names that glorify men, systems, and man-made doctrines. For example, you'll hear it often said by those who are persuaded by John Calvin's teachings. They'll say, "I'm a Calvinist. I believe in Calvinism." And they say that because they think it best describes their set of beliefs, and it probably does. The problem is, as I hope you can see, is that name was not given in Scripture as the divine name by which disciples of Christ are to be called. A person who is baptized into Christ does not wear Calvin's name, but Christ's name. Now, the striking contrast is this. There is no authority from heaven to wear the names of men, to wear the names that glorify man or uninspired, I should say men, uninspired teachers like Methodists, which has its roots in John and Charles Wesley, men. The same is true of Mormonism. Its roots are in Joseph Smith. Names that glorify men like Baptist, that's John Smith from the 1600s. Names like Jehovah's Witnesses, which has its root in Charles Taze Russell and others. And we could go on and on. These names that denominations wear, they give glory to man-made systems, Methodism, the methods that were promoted by John Calvin. Systems of men, Mormonism, Book of Mormon. Systems of men, Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower Bible Tract Society, New World Translation, the systems of men, the doctrines of men. Again, we could go on and on. Southern Baptist Church, Westminster, and there are many names online. Calvinism. There are many names online that are associated with schools and so forth. Now look, listen very closely, and I'll do another episode on this sometime in the future. I only promote the name of Christ. And I think that people are listening to this and they want to only promote the name of Christ, or they believe that. Or maybe you're listening to this because someone shared it to you or shared it with you, and you're considering, well, I believe that, but yet you are a member of, the Anglican Church, the Baptist Church, the Disciples of Christ movement, these different groups that call themselves by other names besides the name Christian, Episcopalian, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness. I could go online. There's thousands of different denominations. And again, I'm not going to go into a great discussion of this, but when we denominate ourselves by a specific name besides the name Christian, we divided ourselves. And people will say, aha, well, Aaron, you're a member of the Church of Christ, so you're a denomination too. No. Or you are part of a denomination because of that. No. No, because there's one church. And if I learn what makes up that one church, what doctrine, and I believe and obey and teach that one doctrine, I am not a denomination. If I change the doctrine, then I have denominated the name of Christ. I have turned it into something else. But one of the marks of New Testament Christianity is that New Testament Christians only wear the name Christian. They don't wear other names. And some have incorrectly charged me with, you know, following the so-called restoration movement teachers and preachers like Barton W. Stone and Alexander Campbell and these other individuals. Bottom line, I don't wear their names. I don't call their names. I don't even read their material. And here's my challenge to anyone who might sincerely think, but yes, didn't the Church of Christ start in the 1800s in America? Here's the bottom line. That's a fundamental misunderstanding over the name of the church and the description of the church. There is no formal name of the church, but there is a name that the followers of Christ, the members of the church, are to wear. And it's not Baptist, it's not Methodist, it's not Episcopalian, it's not Presbyterian, it's not Aaron. It's Christ, Christian. That's the name given by God in Scripture. There are multiple descriptions of the church in the Bible. The church of Christ, the church of the Lord, the body of Christ, the church of God, the temple of God, and on we could go. But names that are used today glorify uninspired men. The name Christian does not glorify anyone or anything besides Christ. So here's my question to the so-called mainstream denominations. Here's my question. Why do they wear other names? If you're a member of one of those, I want to encourage you to really think about that deeply. Why does my preacher, my pastor, my religious leader, why does he wear other names? Why do we talk about these other men? Why do we bring anyone else into the picture besides Christ in our name wearing and in our name calling? You say, well, Aaron, I believe in the name of Christian, and I believe I'm a Christian. I believe I call God's followers, true followers, Christian. I don't buy into Baptist and Methodist. I may be Baptist. I may be Methodist. I may go to a Catholic church and on, but I don't believe in that. I'm just a Christian. Okay, but why are you aligned with a group of people who promote a name besides Christ? How come I am asked by people, why do the masses think, well, what kind of Christian are you? You know, when I'm asked, well, what's your religion? I say, I'm Christian. You know, the gospel. So I say, well, what kind of Christian? And they mean, you know, are you an Anglican Christian? Are you a Church of England Christian? Are you a Baptist Christian? Are you a Catholic Christian? Are you a Disciples of Christ Christian? Are you an Episcopalian Christian? You know, there's almost a denomination for every letter. If I could just EFG, are you a Church of God in Christ Christian? Are you a, just on and on and on. That shows the misunderstanding of the fundamental fact that only the name of Christ is needed and only the name of Christ is acceptable to God. It's the name given by God, and it shows that many people think that they can claim to be Christian, but yet buy in to a denominational name that glorifies men. Dear listeners, the description Church of Christ, even that description does not glorify men. It does not glorify a man-made system, a man-made doctrine. It's biblical. The congregations of Christ salute you, Romans 16:16. And the idea of church is the called out body of Christ. Of is denoting possession. And Christ is the title of Jesus. He's Messiah. The church of Christ is no different than the description. It's no great difference than the description, the body of Christ. Except body denotes, many members and a spiritual body that is connected to the head, Christ. And church simply signifies those called out by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. So here's my sincere question, my sincere plea to my listeners. If you are a Christian, a New Testament Christian, a member of the church that belongs to Christ, You believe in the one church. You believe in the one faith, the one doctrine. Keep in mind that Church of Christ is not a name. It's a description. And that your name, the name that you wear, is Christ. And for those who might either be opposed to the things I'm saying, or who might sincerely not know what's the difference in what I'm saying and what others say in denominations, when it comes to the one church, let me ask you, if you're a listener and you truly think that the Church of Christ in the Bible was started by Alexander Campbell, let me ask you, did you realize that Jesus promised to build his church in the first century? Daniel 2:44, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And if Jesus established his church in the first century, and I describe it the way the Bible does, then I'm not doing something that Alexander Campbell, Barton Stone, or anybody else taught. We need to go back to the first century, not to the 1800s, the 1700s, 1600s, 1500s, 1400s, the 300s. We need to go back to the first century and to the text of God's Word, the sacred text, the 27 canonical books in the New Testament. What you'll find is the disciples wore the name Christ, Christian. They didn't call themselves by other names. They were known as just that, Christians. Sure, servants of God, children of God, people of God, there are other descriptions, but the name is Christian. For those who may challenge you in your faith, if you are a member of the one church and someone challenges you and they say, well, you know, you're because you describe the church with the description Church of Christ, that means you follow Alexander Campbell. Let me give you something to think on that you can teach those who say such things. And this is my challenge to someone who may be listening to this who says, well, Aaron, you know, you are a member of a denomination because Alexander Campbell started the Church of Christ. Number one, that means you misunderstand the Church of Christ and the Bible. Number two, here's my challenge. What do I believe or teach? Did Alexander Campbell, Barton W. Stone, anybody in the 1800s that they taught that the New Testament didn't already say 2,000 years before? Or 1,800 years prior to Alexander Campbell. What is it? What is it that I believe and teach that Alexander Campbell believed and taught that Jesus and the apostles had not already taught and written in the first century? What is it? That's my challenge. Folks, I am not aware of one single thing that I hold as doctrine that Alexander Campbell believed and taught that Jesus didn't already teach before. And as a matter of fact, folks, I know very little of what Alexander Campbell wrote or taught because I haven't read it. I'm not interested in what Alexander Campbell taught. I don't dislike Alexander Campbell, but I couldn't care less. You know, Barton W. Stone, anybody, you name some person that claimed to be a member of the one church or taught something that I believe, well, I don't believe it because they taught it. If Alexander Campbell believed that baptism was for the remission of sins, I don't believe that because Alexander Campbell taught. I believe it because Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I just couldn't care less about Alexander Campbell and Barton W. Stone. They may have been good men in their own time, and God will judge them. You know, whatever good they may have done, hey, thank you, God. But, you know, I'm thankful for good people. But my faith rests in the name of Christ and in the gospel, not in what uninspired men say, not in what the systems of men say. And here's what I want you to do. If you're a member of a denomination, if you're a member of one of the, you know, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a member of one of these other groups, you know, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, Methodist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, on and on, community church, all these things. If you're a member of one of those, ask yourself and your leaders, why do we denominate? Why why do we call ourselves Baptist Christians or Methodist Christians or Episcopalian Christians and on and on? Why? Well, where is the Bible authority to do that? There is not, because those names give glory to the systems that those individuals taught. Folks, you will not find me giving credence to anyone's name besides Christ. And it's sad but true. Calvinists are individuals, Bodie Bachman and R.C. Sproul and these different ones that are in the James White, these different popular ones, nearly all of them. They'll come right out and they'll tell you. They'll say, yeah, I'm a full-fledged Calvinist. Why in the world? If you have been influenced by the teachings of that Bodie Bachman, whatever his name is, these different ones who claim to be Calvinist, what? And I'll just, and you know, I've kind of bopped around here just a little bit on getting these names. Let me just, I'm gonna go to Google, popular Calvinist preachers. Okay, I'm gonna go here and just tell me. Okay. Now, again, I'm not making a wholesale list, but you just check into what they're saying, okay? Don't believe me. Check into what they're saying and what they're teaching, okay? If I can get off the crazy New York Times page, it won't let me off. Okay. All right. Here are some names, if I can get it here. Well, some names that you can know that you can look into and you can know. All right, here we go. ChristianityToday.com, Tim Keller, John Piper, and Andy Stanley. Tony Evans, Thomas Long, Otis Moss III, John Piper, Charles Swindoll, Barbara Taylor, Ralph West, John MacArthur, you know, the list goes on. These individuals that claim to be Calvinists, why do they claim to be Calvinists? Why would you want to use any other name? There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody said, well, I'm a Calvinist, but I'm a Christian. No, you're not, because a Christian would not be a Calvinist. A Christian would not be a Dodsonite. A Christian would be a Christian and a Christian alone. You see, truly, the gospel only makes Christians only, and the only Christians. So if you take the seed, the word of God, Luke 8:11, and you plant the seed, the word of God, without commentaries, etc., you're only going to get Christians. You're not going to get an Aaronite. You're not going to get a Dodsonite. You're not going to get anything besides what the seed produces. The seed is the word of God, the seed of the kingdom. You're going to get citizens of the kingdom. You're going to get Christians, not Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, and Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, all these different ones. Now, folks, I know I've thrown a lot of names around, and I've said some things that maybe you consider are maybe blunt or mean, but folks, I am not trying to be mean. I want to only believe and teach the name Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Disciples of Christ who obeyed the gospel were called Christians. That is incontrovertible. They were not called Baptists. They were not called Methodists. They were not called Aaronites. They weren't called Church of Christers. No, they were Christians. Christians alone. And Christians are added to the church by the Lord. Acts 2:47, Colossians 1:13, delivered out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's the church that belongs to Christ. And they weren't Calvinists. They weren't Lutherans. They weren't Wesleyans. They weren't Dodsonites. They weren't Mormons. They were Christians. And here's my challenge. What passage of Scripture, because 1 Corinthians 1 condemns sectarianism, what passage of Scripture in the New Testament authorizes the use of uninspired men's names to call yourself after, to call oneself after? I am this, I am that, I am this kind of Christian. There is none of that in Scripture. If you're in a church that gets into that, that buys into that, get out of that. There is a striking contrast between what we learn from the pages of the New Testament and what we learn in the world today, denominationalism. Okay? That's my challenge to you. Those are some words that I want you to consider. Let them weigh heavy on your heart. And we can talk about scriptural designations. The Church of the Lord, Acts 20, 28. The churches of Christ, Romans 16, 16. These are scriptural designations. Let's wear the name of Christ. And the way you wear the name of Christ is you're baptized into a relationship with Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now watch the verse before it. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. You are because you have been. Now folks, that's ungettoverable. You are the children of God because you have been baptized into Christ, and therefore you wear the name of Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can't wear the name of Christ. You can't just say, well, I'm a Christian. Just because we claim to be something doesn't mean we are in the eyes of God. It has to be according to His doctrine, according to His will, His way. And we have that in the written New Testament. If you need help with that, or if I've been confusing, or if you have questions, I want to ask you to reach out. You can find me on social media, Aaron J. Dodson. You can find me on Facebook. You can listen to my Podbean channel. You can. There's ways you can contact me. And I'll be happy to try my best to give you understanding. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And let's stand up and let's oppose these man-made names. Don't be afraid to oppose man-made doctrine. Don't mistake doctrinal preaching for being mean. Don't mistake being exclusive as was God and Christ was and have been and are exclusive in their doctrine. May our doctrine be Jesus' doctrine and be exclusive as much as He's exclusive and be inclusive as much as He is inclusive. Nothing more, nothing less. Truly the gospel only makes Christians only and the only Christians. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share this with others. God bless, and I'll catch you next time.